Well, good morning again. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 6 as we look at verses 13 and 14. To maintain the context of verses 13 and 14 and not pull them out too much by themselves, let's start by reading verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. O Lord God, we give you the praise and the glory for the faith that you have anointed us with through the power of the gospel and the belief in our hearts. Lord, we praise you that you have not left us alone to the devices and the schemes of the devil and the evil present day that we live in, but you have given to us the means of grace in the portion of the Holy Spirit you give to us and through the power of the armor of God. Lord Jesus, I pray as we walk through these verses this morning that our hearts would be softened to the place of receiving what it is you want us to hear, that we would be ready for the truth that you pour into our hearts so that we may be strengthened in our faith and ready to do battle against the evil one. Lord, I praise you for the chance to speak these words, and I pray that you would give me the words to speak this morning, and that nothing would come out of my mouth save what you once said. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right. So, the first thing we need to recognize about the armor of God before we start putting on the individual pieces is that the armor is given because of our union with Christ. It is through our union with him that we are able to receive the armor of God, to put it on and be ready to do battle. We see this because of our union with God, because Jesus Christ himself wears the armor of God. Therefore, because of our union with him, we can receive it from our Father in heaven. We also understand that because of verses 11 and 12, we take up the whole armor of God. The purpose of putting on the armor of God is so we can withstand in the evil day and stand firm. In verse 14, Paul tells us to stand. We stand because of what Paul has said in verses 10 through 13. They are the basis and the grounds for why we stand and how we stand. Notice how often Paul has repeated the word stand in this section. He mentions it for the first time in verse 11, along with the command to put on the whole armor of God. Then he tells us again in verse 13 to take up the whole armor and to stand firm. And then in verse 14, he tells us to stand. What are we supposed to stand against? Evil, that's correct. We are to stand against evil. And what is evil? He is the perpetrator of evil, but what is evil? Sin is evil, that's right. Disobedience, rebellion against God is evil. Anything that denies the Lord Jesus as the sovereign Savior of heaven and earth and all of mankind is evil. It is he and he alone who has saved us, and it is he and he alone who rules over all powers and over all authorities, and anything that contradicts that or acts in contradiction to it is evil. Look at verse 13, the very first word, therefore. Because of what he has said in verses 10 through 12, that is the basis and the grounds for his command and leads into the command to take up the whole armor of God. He commands us to take it up. And because the Apostle Paul is speaking on behalf of God to us as the Scriptures and the revelation of God, it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who command us to take up the whole armor of God. And here Paul repeats it from verse 11, to take up the whole armor of God and to stand. We are to take up the whole armor, not just pieces of it. If we'd only pick up pieces and engage ourselves with it, then we leave ourselves open to danger and serious attack. We must use the whole armor to stand firm and to stand against the evil day that we are presently in. These repeated commands to stand are active and intentional acts. We are not to be passive in our taking up the spiritual armor or our engagement and use of it. We are to be active in the use of the spiritual armor. We are to be active in standing against evil and standing against those lies and untruths that would seek to wound us and to make captives of our brothers and sisters. Look at verse 14. We'll take a closer look at the individual pieces now. When he says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Notice that the belt of truth goes on first. Then the breastplate of righteousness, which covers the seat of our emotions. The truth is where we stand firm, and it is the truth with which we advance forward in the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. Where does truth begin? What is truth is a common mantra of our society and culture today because of the belief in the relativity of truth. The answer to what is truth comes to us from Jesus himself. Turn backwards in your Bibles to John chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Notice the very first thing John records of Jesus' words there in verse 1. "Let your hearts not be troubled, but believe in God and believe also in me." Jesus is the source of all truth. He is truth. And the belief in him is the first step in embracing the truth. And it is by the truth and the truth alone that we can stand and go forward. We stand in truth. We are a people of truth. That is what we proclaim. That's what we live out. That is who we are, a people of truth. And walking as people of God begins with belief in God and belief in Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about the belief in him as our Savior. I'm talking about the belief in him and his wholeness of everything that he is. All the things of God, all the characteristics of Jesus that we must grow into in our belief as we mature as believers in Christ Jesus. That is why continuing to study the Scriptures and continuing to seek and understand the nature of God and the character of God is so important to our personal growth as believers in Christ Jesus. The other truth that John tells us from John 14 is that truth that we are to believe in Christ Jesus and him alone for our salvation. He tells us plainly there in John 14, the truth is that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. we proclaim this truth. We first believe it for ourselves and embrace it as the truth, living it out as the truth. And then we go forward proclaiming this truth that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That is the truth, and it is the truth we proclaim, that there is no other way. It is not Jesus plus anything else. Jesus plus anything else is a lie, and it is evil. Faith in Christ is the only way to have eternal life. And we must proclaim that truth to those around us, and even to ourselves. We need reminding on a regular basis that faith in Christ is the only way to have eternal life. We hear so many lies around us in our culture, in our society, and from different religious beliefs and groups and belief systems that you must have Jesus plus something else. We must reject those lies and proclaim the truth and uncover those lies for the lies they are. Faith in Christ alone saves us. We are battling against lies. That is what the spiritual armor engagement is all about, and the battle cry for the Christian is to battle against lies with the truth. Turn back to John chapter 8. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." We are fighting against the sin nature of ourselves, but praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Spirit within our hearts and within our souls, we overcome the fleshly nature that drives us towards sinful acts and disobedience and rebellion. And by the power of the Spirit, we tell the truth of Christ and the gospel so that the lies of sin being told to others can be broken. Our enemy is the father of lies. Paul plainly tells us in the beginning of verses 10 through 12, that we are not battling against human agents. We are battling against the forces of darkness, the rulers and authorities and cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Those are the real enemy, and we do battle against them. Human agents come to us as agents of the devil, and they always come in the form of lies. The first and preeminent lie is from Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Turn backwards with me to Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Satan always brings the lie of questioning the word of God and the truth of God. He never tells a completely bold-faced lie, because a bold-faced lie is unbelievable. All lies must have a little bit of truth mixed into them so they are believable. We battle against Satan and his powers, but they come at us often in the form of human agents. And in doing so, we proclaim the truth to those human agents, but more importantly, we proclaim the truth to those around us who are hearing the lies and trying to decide what is true and what is false. In fact, when we proclaim the gospel to the human agents of evil, we're not so much seeking to have them converted to faith in Christ as we are to reach out and do good for those who are on the sidelines trying to figure out what truth is. We're really preaching to the people who listen to this on the sidelines more than we're preaching to the person we're addressing. Another lie that we must battle is socialism. Now, why must we battle a lie of socialism? Because it increases the power of the state. In every case, when the power of the state is increased, the freedom of the people is decreased. And oftentimes that loss of freedom is lost in freedom to proclaim the truth of the gospel. A bigger reason to oppose socialism is it leads to communism, which leads to tyranny. The church is always an early victim of tyranny. We must speak forth the gospel against the physical human agent of socialism and the lie that it somehow will lead us to a better life. The only way to have a better life is through walking with Christ and Christ alone. We fight for the truth of the gospel and for those around us who are yet to believe in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at the breastplate of righteousness. Paul hasn't come up with the idea of the breastplate of righteousness by himself. In fact, he draws from it from Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17. We're going to read verses 17 through 21. He put on the righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to the deeds, so will he repay. Wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies, to the coastlands he will render repayment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream in which the wind of the Lord drives. And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring, or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. The righteousness of God and the breastplate of righteousness is something that Jesus himself wears, as I said earlier. He, from verse 17, is Jesus. He is the promised one, and he will come with vengeance. But we have a challenge that raises an important question. The gospel all present Jesus not as one who comes with vengeance, but as one who comes with hope and light. How do we reconcile this apparent contradiction from Isaiah 59 describing who Jesus is with who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John described who Jesus is, as well as the Apostle Paul and the rest of the New Testament writers? How do we reconcile that? Well, we reconcile it by recognizing that he came this first time to offer hope and salvation and deliverance from sin, but his second coming will be the man of vengeance who pours out wrath upon his adversaries. Why is this relevant for us as we take up the spiritual armor and go into battle? Because we know that in the end, we win. He comes back for his people, and he wins over sin, over death, over evil, and over Satan. And when we walk forth with the spiritual armor, advancing the kingdom of God, we can know that we are fighting for the winning team and take heart in no matter how difficult or intense the battle becomes around us, that we are working and battling on the winning team. What righteousness are Isaiah and Paul referring to? What does it mean for the righteousness? Well, we can look to Christ and his imputed righteousness toward us as what righteousness is. Let's start out in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. It is through the imputed righteousness of Christ that we become righteous. Now let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge of all discernment, so that, for the purpose of, you may approve what is excellent and be blameless and pure for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It is through Jesus Christ to his glory and praise that we have the fruit of righteousness and we enjoy Christ's fruit of righteousness. Now let's turn over a page to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 and 9. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Our faith is what translates righteousness to us. All of the righteousness can be summed up in the righteousness of Christ. However, in this particular instance here in Ephesians chapter 6 with the armor of God, Paul is focused on living righteously so our hearts are not corrupted and we lose our sense of right and wrong. When our hearts become corrupted with the false truths, with lies from the evil one, the danger is that we will lose our sense of right and wrong. And in doing so, we lose our correlation to the truth. Truth is like a compass. And when we allow our hearts to be corrupted with lies, then we lose our orientation and can't find our way home. And we wander around in the darkness. But praise God, the Lord Jesus and Father and Holy Spirit have provided for us a defense against our hearts being corrupted. It is the breastplate of righteousness. And living righteously allows us to be obedient to the Father and to walk with him through the power of the Spirit in the goodness of his life, of Christ, and in our lives of walking with Christ. Now, the whole armor is offensive as well as defensive. We first stand firm against the onslaught of lies coming against us and our brothers and sisters. When we put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, as well as the rest of the spiritual armor, we are to stand firm against the lies that are onslaughting us as individuals first, and as us as a church. And when we put those on, we're not just battling the lies that we believe, we're battling against the lies that our brothers and sisters will be believing. Look, here's the truth and the reality, whether you like it or not. Every single one of us in this room is believing some kind of lie. It is a lie about ourselves and who we are, or it is a lie about God and who he is. One of those lies is lying within our hearts and is bearing the fruit of unrighteousness. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that that lie is uncovered. By proclamation of truth, the lie is uncovered. And the power of the Spirit can work within us and we can work with the Spirit for sanctification by reducing and eliminating the lie that we believe. We stand firm first for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters in Christ, proclaiming the truth. Then we advanced against the kingdom of darkness to break the lies that others are believing. The lies they believe, like salvation, if I'm a good enough person, I get to heaven. No. Eternal life only comes through knowing Christ. The lie that I can find satisfaction and fulfillment in this life by chasing material things. No, you cannot find satisfaction and fulfillment in material things. And because you can't, it will never be enough. No matter what you get, it won't be enough as long as you're looking for your fulfillment and satisfaction in this life. The only thing, the truth is, the only thing that gives fulfillment and satisfaction is a working, living relationship with Jesus Christ. The other truth that we need to believe as we seek to advance against the kingdom of darkness is the battle is the Lord's. His battle plan involves us fulfilling our role as He is assigned to us. Each of us has a particular role in the battle for the truth. And whatever that role is for you, it is in that role that you can advance by wearing the spiritual armor. One role that all of us have is proclaiming the truth, as I've been talking about this morning. But each of us have a specific individual role that we play. God, for reasons I do not understand, has called me to the role of preaching and teaching. My role is to proclaim the truth to each of you every week so that you may battle the lies assaulting you and empower you to battle the lies assaulting those around you that you interact with. We play our role individually, but we also play our role as a church. We as a church body takes up the spiritual armor so that we can advance against the kingdom of darkness. One of our roles as a church to advance against the kingdom of darkness is supporting all the missionaries that we do. People like Gennady that we support financially and through our prayers. And we praise the Lord that He has allowed us to be partners with Gennady and all the other missionaries that we support. So this raises an important question. What do we do in battle? We battle for the truth, but what do we do? How do we do it? This question is further clouded by the reality we do not battle a physical enemy. We cannot see with our physical eyes who our enemy is. Look, brothers and sisters, hear this. We cannot see the devil and his demonic forces, but we can see the evidence of their work. We can see where they have been at work proclaiming their lies and their false gospel. And we can do work against that. We can battle their lies with the truth. Every lie that Satan tells is so that he may draw people away from the true gospel and believe in his false gospel. That's right. I'm telling you that Satan has a false gospel. He advances. And that gospel is that you don't need Jesus. That you don't need to live according to the plan and calling of God the Father through the means of Scripture and the Holy Spirit that He gives to us for how to live our lives. His gospel says you can live for yourself, that ourselves and our self-gratification is the way to satisfaction and fulfillment. No, that is a false gospel. The true gospel is that we walk with Christ and we live for others. Not just living for ourselves, but living for others that God calls us to interact with and to care for. So what do we do? What do you do? Here's what we do, brothers and sisters, as we leave this building today. You take up the armor. You accept your role in the kingdom of heaven and earth, in the kingdom of Christ, and you fight for the truth. But remember, my brothers and sisters, you can't fight for the truth if you don't know the truth. That is why it's so critical to be in the Word and in fellowship with Christ our Savior every day. Every day, we must take our orders from the King of Heaven before we can advance against the kingdom of darkness with the truth. And that is my encouragement and admonition to you. Fight for the truth with the Spirit of God. Don't decide to take off and do this battle by yourself as though somehow we are given orders to just do this. We are to do this with Jesus our Savior, walking in the Spirit every day. Walk in the Spirit as you advance against the kingdom of darkness. Let's pray. Lord, you are a good and holy God, and we praise you that you are a holy God. We are delighted that our praises go to a holy God, one who is sovereign over all the forces of darkness. We praise you that you have chosen us to be participants in your kingdom's advance against the kingdom of darkness. We pray, O Lord, that you would steady us with the truth, that we would be ready to stand firm because of our righteous living through the power of the Spirit. We praise you, Lord, that you love us, that you gave yourself for us, and we walk forward in the truth that you will come again. In Jesus' holy name, amen.